Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. Certainly, God is pleased that we are here assembling on the Lord's Day to worship in spirit and in truth. So thankful for our song reading, so thankful for our prayer, so thankful for our Bible class teachers, and all those individuals that step up and serve in so many ways, seen and unseen, in terms of putting the work of the kingdom first in their lives and trying to make sure that those things that are good are done. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 142, if you'll turn over there. Psalm 142 is where we're going to be spending all of our time in relation to David. And certainly as we think of David, there's a lot of background that we could go through this morning in relation to David. Of course, we remember that the Israelites get out of Egypt and they eventually make their way to the Promised Land underneath the leadership of Moses, and then transitioning to Joshua going into the Promised Land, and they have a period of judges. And then after the judges, we go into a period of kings, and we have Saul, David, Solomon, and the kingdom is united. And Saul is that first king, and David is going to come behind. And certainly we know that David and Saul had a relationship with one another. But I'd just like to remind us of some of the things associated with David's life, because when we get to Psalm 142, what we're going to see is David is in a dark spot and a hard spot. And you know what? We're going to have times in our lives that are going to be similar to what David's going through. He's certainly facing a lot of physical circumstances that are stressing to him. And I think these physical stresses that are on his life have taken him to an emotional place where he is crying out to God, crying out for help. But we remember David, the young shepherd boy who is going to be anointed as king. And in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. David was a good man. Certainly, he had very good and fine qualities, but he had his faults as well, as we all do. We remember his affair with Uriah, and we remember some of the dealings that he has with his children and some of the things that go through. David was a good man. He was a man after God's own heart, but doesn't mean that David did not have mistakes and didn't have trials in his life. And when we see Psalm 142, what we're going to see is that David is going to be, he's going to have a plea for relief, for help from God. That's something to think about. You know, David is anointed as the next king. We remember some things, some highlights in David's life. We remember that David is the one that faces off with Goliath, and with the help of God, defeats Goliath. We remember how he is welcomed into Saul's household to play instruments for him to kind of ease his spirit. And we even remember some things that happened. As David, in that time, he befriends Saul's son, Jonathan. And he also marries one of Saul's daughters. David is really brought into Saul's household as an ally, as a friend, and really as family. But as time goes on, we remember what the crowd starts to say, that Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s, and the seeds of, I believe, jealousy is in Saul's heart, along with Saul making the connection that David could be that next king, and Saul starts to try to kill David. Now you think about that. Saul has had an ally in David, a faithful ally, and he basically runs David away. An ally that is best friends with his son. An ally that is married to one of his daughters. Saul runs one of his best allies out of his house. And I believe, although I could be wrong, I believe that's where we're finding David. David, as he has been basically run out of a friend's house, family's house, loved one's house, his king's house, in terms of the physical king Saul. I believe that David, when he pens this, Psalm 142, I believe he might be in the cave of Adullam, which we find in 1 Samuel chapter 22. David is in a cave where he has been alienated from those that he loves, many friends, many families, and in this cave he does have some allies, but certainly I believe he's outnumbered. And I think in this situation, in this backdrop, this is where David starts to write. Let's see what David pens in such a hard situation. You know that you're going to go through valleys in this life. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a good man. Now that doesn't mean that David didn't have faults throughout his life. He certainly did. But here we have a good man that is going through some hard times. He's been driven away. He's been alienated. I believe he's in a cave. And he is writing Psalm 142. And he is petitioning God and crying out to God. Let's look at what David has to say as he goes through the valleys in life. Our life is not on a straight up trajectory. We have ups and downs and all around. We have highs in our life and we have lows. And I believe we find a man of God in a low situation. Let's see how David responds. Let's see some of the emotion that he's going through. Verses 1 and 2. We're going to see David crying out to God. He says, I cry out to the Lord with my voice to the Lord. I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. David is really pouring out his heart to God. He is open with the Lord. He is candid with the Lord. He's pouring out his meditations, his thoughts, his troubles, his trials. He tells the Lord, I'm in trouble. David, a good man, faced hard times. And we, as good men and women, as Christians serving God, you understand that you're going to fall on some hard times. You're going to go through some valleys in this life. You're going to go through some challenges in this life. And what a blessing it is that we can ask God for help in our time of trouble. And you know what? God hears us. David is in a cave, separated from many friends, family, and loved ones, I believe. And here, who is he crying out to? He's crying out to his God. And I believe David knows that God will hear him. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Do you understand that we have a great ally when we go through valleys in this life? When we go through hard times, when we go through adversities, when we go through trials, when we go through disease, when we go through disaster, when we go through discouragement, when we are in that hard situation, when we find ourselves as David is, he's in a cave. He cries out to the Lord. You know that the Lord will hear you? In Psalm 55 and verse 17, it says, evening, morning, and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. What a blessing it is that we serve a God that will hear us when we are at the lowest points in our life. When we are going through the hardest things in our life, we have a Lord that is listening and is open as we go through the hardest moments of our life. Do you cry out to the Lord when you're in the valley? Do you cry out to the Lord when you're going through hard times? Because we see David, a good man, a man after God's own heart, when he is in such a situation, he cries out to the Lord. Do you cry out to the Lord when you go through those trials and struggles in life? You know, there's a power in prayer. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I think David understood that. David has a dark day. And in fact, it's going to be dark days. David's going to be on the run. David's going to be on the run from people that he loves. He's going to be on the run from people that he loves, separated from people that he cares about. On the run. And he cries out to the God. And he's standing with God. You look at verses 1 and 2. He says, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. He is very candid with God. David is letting God know what he's going through. And really, he's letting him see the emotions that he's going through. We are emotional beings. I think the gospel call is intellectual, but I think it is also emotional. We are emotional beings. And that's why I love the Psalms. Because the Psalms, we get to see the emotional struggles and trials of good followers of God. David is a good follower of God. He's not a perfect individual, but he's a good follower of God. And we see him here in the valley of life, on the run from people he really should not be on the run from. He's candid with God. Are you candid with God when you go through trials and struggles in this life and you try to bring God into the equation? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We serve a God that cares. We serve a God that is on the other line of our prayers, and He hears us, and He understands. Do you seek help in such times? In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Do we come boldly before the throne of God and ask for help? And many times when we're going to God to ask for help, sometimes we need to understand that sometimes it is for ourselves, and sometimes it's for those that we love. And we should be coming boldly before the throne of God and asking for His help and intercession for not only ourselves, but those that we love. Those that are brothers and sisters in Christ that are going through hard times, that might not be going through hard times. We might not all be going through hard times at the same time. Do we pray for one another? Do we cry out to the Lord? I do believe David is in a hard situation. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, if this is in fact where he is at, in the cave of Adullam, you can read there that he has 400 men with him. And Saul there, in 1 Samuel chapter 22, he starts talking to his individuals. Now you remember Saul. David has served Saul faithfully. He has served Saul faithfully. He has married one of his daughters. He's best friends, really, with Jonathan. And David is on the run from this man. And 1 Samuel chapter 22, and as we look at verse 7, this is something that Saul says. He says, "And Saul said to his servants who stood about him, 'Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds?'" I really have no doubt that David is outnumbered. And people that really should be on David's side are now pursuing him. And we see what he's saying. He says, "What is David going to do for you? Is David going to give you a field? Is David going to make you over a captain over a hundred, captain over thousands?" Oh, I think David is outnumbered. I think David is in a hard situation. And in such a hard situation, he turns to God. We will face hard times in this life. In Job 14:1, it says, "Man is born of woman is 2 days and full of trouble." You understand that you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. There are going to be days where you're in the valley. And the question is how will you respond when you're in the valley? I'm not going to say you're not going to have emotions. David did. The servants of God, people that love God, that live a good life, they go through valleys. And I think that's where we find David here. We find a good man, a solid man, a man after God's own heart, who is going through the valleys of life, going through struggles. We will go through struggles in this life. Will you petition God candidly? Will you let Him know what's going on, the struggles that you face? Many times, we face situations that are out of our control. And you know what? I think David is turning to God for refuge. Will you petition God in the valleys of life? He speaks of his trouble. As we look at that second verse, he says, "I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble." If you look at verse 6, he talks about, really, some of the adversity that he's facing. He says, "Attend to my cry, for I have been brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." Look at these things that David's admitting. He understands the situation that he's in. He understands the hardship that he's in. He knows that he's outnumbered. He knows the debt is stacked against him. He knows all these things, and he cries out to God. Will we cry out to God in such situations when we face adversity, when we face trouble? He claims God. In verse 5, he says, "I cry out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." David recognizes that God is his only source of refuge. And there are things that you're going to face in this life that are out of your control. You can do everything that you want. You can try to do your best. You can try to do all those things. And eventually you realize there are things in this life that are out of your control. And there's only one place left to turn. It is to God. And we see in verse 5, it says, "I cry out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living." So we turn to God in this life. I think in John chapter 6, John chapter 6, many of the disciples are turning away from God. They're walking away. They're going other places, doing other things. They're offended by things that Jesus said. And yet there, in John chapter 6, in verse 68, Simon Peter says something. He answers him and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else are you going to turn? A good, godly man in the Old Testament, as we see that he is emotional and going through a hard time, he knows where to turn. He turns to God. Will we do the same? Let's think about some of the situations and circumstances. We see that David cries out in such a situation, but let's look at his circumstances and the situation in which he finds himself. Let's look at verses 2 through 4, and really all throughout Psalm 142, is David is really painting a picture of the hardship that he's in. Verses 2 through 4, he says, I pour out my complaint before him, I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path and the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. And you talk about some dark words. If you slow down and you read that, many people would probably say, if we started using our terminology, David is in a dark spot. Perhaps he's got some depression. He's got some things that he is dealing with emotionally. He says, I feel alone. I feel overwhelmed. I feel everybody's against me. And I feel like no one cares for me. That's the valley that David's in. And you know what? When we consider the context and we consider what David's gone through, I think some degree we can relate to that. And many of us, when we read these words, they touch us very, very deeply because we've been in a similar situation. Where we have said something similar in an emotional state as we're going through trials in this life, as we're going through struggles in this life, have we said in some point in our life, emotionally, out of emotion, no one cares for my soul? Have we said that emotionally in our lives? Perhaps we have. Have we said emotionally in our lives, I feel overwhelmed? David is. David's saying, I feel overwhelmed. I feel no one cares for me. No one acknowledges me. I feel all alone. You think of that situation. David is in a hard situation. He cries out to God. But when we really start to think about these circumstances that David's going through, if he starts to describe it, these are words that I think that we can say to ourselves internally, but also words that we might say to ourselves emotionally as we're going through hard times. David is in a hard situation. He feels pressed from all sides. He feels pressure from all sides. He's in a hard situation, and those emotions are pouring out. It's not bad for Christians to have emotions, and we see it right here. A good man, it has emotions. He is struggling with this, and we're going to see his solution is to turn to God. And there are many times in our lives that's the only place that we can turn. Many times in our life there's no other place to turn but to God on high. Who is over all things, that has created all things, our Savior and our Deliverer. He describes his adversaries, the people that are against him. He says, in verse 3, he says, they have secretly set a snare for me. He feels the pressure of these individuals that are around him that want to harm him. You know, we have an adversary described in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the devil. The Bible tells us to be sober, to be diligent, because our adversary, the devil, walks around like a prowling lion, seeking whom he may devour. David is in a hard situation. He tells you he feels alone. Does he not say that? He says he feels alone. Look at verses 4 and 5 again. He says, look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I have cried out to you, O God. I said, you are my refuge, my fortune, and the land of the living. So we see there in verse 4, he says, I feel all alone. We are so blessed to have the year of God in the hard times of this life. David has had good days. He has had days of victory. He has had days of great success. But to say that a good individual does not have bad days, look right here. David is having a hard time. And we can see his emotion. We can see the struggle that he's going through. And that is really why when we look through Psalm, we see so many individuals that are asking hard questions. We can see their emotions that they're going through. We see a little bit of their internal dialogue. He has a battle within himself emotionally going on. And the only solution he has really is to turn to God. You know, I think since feeling alone is something that Satan so many times tries to use on us. I think Satan loves that tool. He wants you to feel like you're all alone. He wants you to feel like no one's acknowledging you. He wants you to feel like no one cares for you. He wants you to feel like that. He wants you to forget about God and those that care about you. I suggest, even though David's in a dark situation, he's in a cave, I believe, with 400 other individuals. Now, some of these individuals' character is suspect. I will say that. Yeah, I think we could study the Bible and see that. But I think David, even in the darkest moment, I think he still has people that care for him. But he emotionally has went to this place. David is in the valley, and he's looking for relief. How many years is he going to be on the run? How many years is he going to feel alienated from those that he loves? And we really see that the relationship between Saul and David is never quite mended. In fact, the messenger comes to tell David that Saul is dead. They were still separate. You know, David is battling some things. He's got some burdens that are grieving him, hurting him. He's got external circumstances that are pressuring him. And when we have those external pressures and hardships, a lot of times they push us to a similar emotional point. And when we get to that point, we have to turn to God. There's no other place to turn. This is not isolated to David. You know, I do think of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 22. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 22, it says, "Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, for Baal's prophets are 450 men. Elijah, I think, went through this. I think God's people go through periods where they look at their life, they're in valleys of life, they have hard situations on the outside. I think we go through these things. And I think sometimes we say things very similar to David. And Elijah says, you know what? I feel like I'm alone. There's 450 of them. And look at me. I feel alone. And he goes and he battles them, basically, on Mount Carmel. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 10, he says this, "I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." I think Satan likes us to feel that we're alone. I think Satan likes that. But the truth is, we're never alone. David has a period where he feels all alone. We have also Elijah. He has a period where he feels all alone. I think the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, writing letters to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, says, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me." He said, "All those in Asia have turned away from me." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, it says this, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." Wait a second, I'm seeing a pattern in the Bible. Elijah had a period where he felt alone. David had periods in his life where he felt all alone. Paul had periods in his life where he felt all alone. Were any of these men truly alone? No. But it doesn't mean that we don't have these emotional battles in our lives. David says, "No one acknowledges me. No one acknowledges me. No one cares for my soul." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have an emotional battle on our hands. We will go through trials and tribulations. We will go through things in this life that will push us to our limits. They will push us and test us, and our emotions many times will pour out. And when we're in such circumstances, which we see good, honest followers of God going through this, Elijah, Paul, David, when we go through these things, there's only one place to turn to, and that's to God. But it doesn't stop there, does it, when Paul talks about that? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, he says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." And in verse 17, he says this, "But the Lord stood with me." I think there's many times where we feel alone, we feel isolated, but really, we are never alone if we're a follower of God. And even David, in this hard situation where I believe he's in a cave, where he's got this, all these external circumstances around him, where he's really in this dark moment, he knows there's only one place he can turn. And that's to God. A servant of God never stands alone. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You know that God will be with you through the valleys of this life. He will be with you through every trial, every tribulation, every adversity, and even in our deepest depths of pain, even in our darkest places, even when we feel overwhelmed. Does David say that? Verse 3, he says, "I'm overwhelmed." He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me." David says, "I'm overwhelmed." When we're overwhelmed, when we feel all alone, when we don't feel that we're acknowledged, when we feel like no one cares, when we're in a hard place, cry out to the Lord. That's what David did. He cried out to the Lord. He turned to God. He trusted in God. And he prayed to God. And I think God was there all along the way. As we kind of turn to the tail end of the psalm, we kind of see that full turn that David's going to make. But I find Psalms to be such a helpful book because through Psalms we see the emotional side of humans and the struggles which we face. We see David struggling here, but a few months ago we looked at Asaph in Psalm 73. We remember Asaph in Psalm 73. He said, "You know what? I look at the world and the evil are prospering." And he starts to think, and he's like, "You know what? Maybe the life I'm living is a waste." And you see him go through that battle in the 73rd Psalm. You see him going through the emotions and the struggles of contemplating this life, this struggles of it, everything that's going around him, and then eventually you get to the end of the psalm, and then he says, "I considered therein." He says, "I'm thinking long term. I'm thinking of God and my relationship with God. The life of a good, God-following individual, a Christian in terms of our perspective, but looking into the Old Testament, individuals that were following God, we see that they struggled and had similar emotions that we have, and they went through valleys in their life, and they turned to God. Let's look at David's confidence. We look at David crying out, we look at David's circumstances, but we really need to conclude with where David ends. And where David ends, in this hard situation, he ends with confidence in God. He ends with confidence in God Almighty. Look at verses 5, 6, and really 7 here. He says, "I cried out to the Lord, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from the persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." You know, in those few words, I think David shows his confidence. David cries out to the Lord. David is emotional. David has some very hard circumstances that he's going through, no doubt. But we see that he does not lose his confidence in God. He says, "God, you are my refuge. You are my refuge. I know I'm going through a lot of trials. I know I'm going through a lot of hard things." Look at what he says in verse 6. He says, "For I am brought very low." Have you ever been brought very low in your life? If you know of what I speak, you don't need me to say anything more. Have you been in times in your life where you have felt, "I have been brought very low"? That's what David said. A servant of God, a good man, a follower of God, he is going through some hard times, and we can see his emotions flowing out, but we see that he doesn't lose his confidence in God. He says, "Bring my soul out of prison." You know what? David probably felt that way. Running from his father-in-law, running from his king, running from somebody that he had served faithfully, being away from his best friend and separated from somebody that he wanted to have a good relationship with. He is in a hard, hard place. He probably does feel that he's in prison, in this cave. But he says, "Bring my soul out of this prison. Bring it out, God, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, and you shall deal bountifully with me." David, in the dark moments of his life, in the valley of life, I think he's still expressing confidence in God, that God will deliver him. that God will be with him through these hard times in his life. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. When you read that Psalm 46, you see that the whole world is falling apart. When you read it, there's all these things that are going on. It seems like the whole world is just falling apart. But you think about that. God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. God is there. You see David's perspective is looking for hope and having confidence in the God that he serves, the God of heaven. Perhaps you've been in a state like this where you felt like you were in a prison. Do you have the confidence to say, God, bring my soul out of this prison, that I may praise your name? The righteous shall surround me, and you shall deal bountifully with me. What a blessing it is, the God that we serve. You know, God is bigger than me, and God is bigger than my problems. You know, I will do my best in this life. I will do my best in this life to try to stay away from some of those snares and some of those pitfalls that the devil lays. But certainly I know that as I go throughout this life, I'm going to go through some trials. I'm going to go through some tribulations. I'm going to find myself, my family, ones that I love, my Christian family, they're going to be in the valley. And when we're in the valley, we must cry out. No matter how dark the situation is, we must cry out to God who will hear us and will deliver us in such a situation. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Certainly Christians can have bad days, but we need to always be looking to God. And God will carry us through even those hard times and struggles. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The question for you is, will you turn to God in the valleys of this life? When you face those hard times, when you say things that David said, when you say, I am overwhelmed, will you turn to God? When you say, no one acknowledges me, will you turn to God? When you say, no one cares for my soul, will you turn to God? When you say the things that David said, will you turn to God? He says, God, I have been brought very low. Will you turn to God? That's what David did. A man after God's own heart. We all need that from time to time, and we certainly need each other. Because we will go through valleys. And when we go through those valleys, make sure that we don't forget God and the confidence which we have in him to deliver us and to bring us out of the prison. Those prisons of desperation and intense emotion because of the hard situations we find ourselves in. What a blessing it is that we have God. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you're here with us this morning and you've not become a New Testament Christian. We see the pattern in the New Testament of individuals hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. We see that in Acts chapter 2 as we see these individuals are added to the church and we see the pattern carried on throughout the New Testament. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church this morning. We would love to help you any way we can. If you come, if you stand, as we sing.